Welcome to another edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast, which we record each week in our University Hall studio. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com. My guest today is a young man with whom UVA fans are very familiar, Isaiah Wilkins from the men's basketball team. Zay, thanks for making the long walk across the street from JPJ. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm feeling good. Thanks for having me.
Are you old enough to have actually played pickup on the court here at U-Haul before kind of the arena portion got shut down?
My first year we came in here. I think they were renovating something over there, so we spent a lot of time over here. It was hot in there.
This is your second appearance on this podcast. The first was in January 2016 when you were midway through your second year. Now you are one of the veterans. Do you get any ribbing from the youngsters on the team about being an old man?
Every single day. Every time I put something on the internet, the Ty Jerome will go and comment, good luck on your ninth year and stuff like that. So, yeah.
I mean, this is only your fourth year, and Devin is the true old man, but I think you get it more than he does, maybe.
Yeah, I think I do too, just because of my knees. But yeah, Devin's been here like 7 years too.
It's good to see you healthy again, which you most definitely were not at the end of last season. In the NCAA tournament, you played a grand total of 5 minutes, you know, all of them in the first round game against UNCW. What was it like going through that? It had to be kind of scary, wasn't it? Because for a while, the doctors couldn't quite pinpoint what was going on, right?
Right, yeah. So I actually didn't find out what it was until a couple months after, specifically what it was. But it was just, it was frustrating because I would have a good day of practice a couple of days before rest, and there's something about a game that's obviously not the same as practice, adrenaline, and this, that, and the third. So, I just wasn't able to pull it together, which was frustrating. But I definitely can look back now and appreciate it.
What were the first symptoms? Was it just fatigue when you just noticed yourself getting tired?
Well, we were at NC State a couple of weeks before, and I had my throat was hurting. And I told Ethan that I thought I might have strep throat because DT had it, mm-hmm. And it was going around. And from there, it just escalated up until the end of the season.
What was the recovery like? If memory serves, you did not do anything with the team or did not do much in April. Was it just kind of a gradual getting your strength back and getting your activity level back up?
It took forever, yeah. I mean, I was just trying to rest, obviously. I wasn't doing workouts. They set me for about a month after the season ended. And I had lost 30, 35 pounds. So just slowly trying to get back. I was being monitored closely. Yeah, it took forever.
I mean, your weight has fluctuated for a variety of reasons. I mean, you came in really light. You got heavier. You lost weight because you got sick. Where are you now, and is this kind of where you want to be?
I'm about 227. I weighed in yesterday at 227, which is perfect. During the season, I end up losing 2 or 3 pounds. So be right around 225, which is where I want to be.
You led the team in rebounding, block shots, and steals, and you were named to the ACC's all-defensive team last season. If you had a dollar for every time you've been referred to as a glue guy, could you retire?
Yeah, easily. I could retire easy since high school.
You dove on the floor in practice for a loose ball at least once because it was right in front of me. You seem to be a little bit more intense every year. What do you see your role as on the team? Is it important for you to kind of set that example with your play on the court?
I think so. I think that since my first year, I've considered myself an energy guy, and I don't think that ever goes away. Obviously, I've been working on offensive and defense, but energy travels, and if we're having a slow practice, something like that can spark us. I'm always yelling. I'm yelling at somebody during practice.
I was going to say, who talks more on the court, you or Ty Jerome?
I knew it.
He's pretty feisty, too,
yeah,
for a young guy, too.
So he was sitting out the first couple of practices, and I was having my way because nobody was really screaming back. And he got back and just started screaming, so I definitely appreciate that.
You went to the ACC Basketball Media Day last year in Charlotte, and that was the first year, you know, without Malcolm Brogdon and Anthony Gill. And you fielded a lot of questions about your role in the offense, and you ended up raising your scoring average from 4.6 points a game as a sophomore to 6.8 per game last year. Is it realistic to think you'll make another jump this year? You know, would you like to?
I think it's realistic just because we changed the way we played. We play off two now, and I've kind of found a groove doing that and using shot fakes and things like that. So I don't think it's wild to say that it'll happen again. I hope it happens.
But
again.
You just kind of let your offense come to you, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's not, always been your.
I'm not really hunting any shots or anything like that. I'll take what they give me and screen for those.
Who
guys.
Takes the Who takes the big shot at the end of the game for this team now, or is that to be determined?
If I had to guess, I'm gonna go with Ty. Ty makes big shots. He takes big shots even in practice. So
he makes like crazy long shots,
wild shots that aren't supposed to go in, and they hit him, and he starts screaming in practice. So that would be my guess.
You're from Atlanta, and like Malcolm, you attended Greater Atlanta Christian. You've told me that there is a shrine of sorts to Malcolm at GAC, and that was even before he was named NBA Rookie of the Year. Have the school officials acknowledged your accomplishments? Two, I hope.
Yeah, Malcolm does have this big thing in the cafeteria. We have a spot too for me, which is cool. My high school coach ended up leaving, but they've contacted me just showing appreciation when I left and stuff like that. So appreciate that.
Atlanta was Martin Luther King Jr.'s hometown, and it's the city he's most associated with. You have always struck me as a guy who has a strong social conscience. Has that developed further since you've been in college in Charlottesville?
Most definitely. Just having a chance to explore different fields as far as education and seeing different things here, being around different guys. Malcolm was a conscious guy, and I've met people outside of sports here that helped me develop in the way that I see the world.
As I know you're aware, there's a racial divide in the United States. You guys, when you're together, you obviously talk about basketball, you talk about sports, but do you talk about kind of current events too as well on the team?
Yeah, I think we do that every single day, whether it be in the locker room, somebody will bring something up, or after practice, we all go to my house and play video games. And so we just get to talking and kind of expressing ourselves and telling things that we know, because we're all from different backgrounds, right? Jack's from New Zealand, I'm from the South, Kyle's from Indiana, and just kind of try to figure things out among ourselves.
Is that kind of a cool part of college or playing on this team, in particular guys from so many different areas and backgrounds? Ty's from New York, and
right.
I'm sure I'm forgetting other guys, but people are from all over.
Right, yeah.
Mamadi is from Africa originally.
Yeah. Frankie's in Italy. Yeah, I mean, it just gives you a lot of background, a lot of perspective that, you know, Jack may not know what's going on. When something wild happens, and you know, we can sit down and talk about it and just try to understand each other more.
Where were you on August 12th, and what was it like kind of watching the news reports from Charlottesville, if you did?
I was at home. I just remember I called because I had some friends up here, called and checked on them, but it was frustrating just because I'm from Stone Mountain, like, so they've had a rally on the top of Stone Mountain, and it's just frustrating because it seemed like everything was just getting worse for a while. And there's just no words that can really describe how you feel about that.
There was an article this morning in UVA Today, which is the online newspaper published by the university, that focused on the Carter G. Woodson Institute for African American and African Studies, and its director, Deborah McDowell, who's also an English professor here. You ended up majoring, didn't you, in African American and African Studies. What kind of led you to that, and what's that experience been like?
So it's been kind of a roller coaster. I was going to do the Baton School first. I did that. I said that a while ago, but ended up working with that and finding out that I just wasn't really passionate about it, and I picked something that I was passionate about, and I'm happy that I did it. People always ask me, you know, what are you going to do with that? But I just feel like if you pick something that you're passionate about and something that, you know, you can communicate with and give back with, that it'll be fine. So I'm happy that I picked it. It's what I'm most passionate about in life.
You have a minor too, right, in women, gender, and sexuality. What's that been like? Are there a lot of men in that major or
minor? Not for my classes. I'm usually one of two or three guys in there. But again, it's just interesting to hear a different perspective of life. Like, I would never think about like some of the things that the women in class say, like, or like when they're walking down the street, they cross the street at nighttime. When mm-hmm. I would never process that. So now I'll be like, okay, I'll cross the street before she does, just so she feels more comfortable. And I've had great professors, and that Professor Hageman is the one that really introduced me to everything. And so I'm just trying to just learn.
Have you had time to get involved in the community here as much as you would like, or do your basketball obligations make that challenging?
Maybe not as much as I like, just because, you know, we do have practice and things like that. But I try to stick with one group because I just think that if I show up one place and hang out with some kids, they won't really get anything out of it except for out of one day. So I'm just trying to stick around and make sure that, you know, I'm giving back based off this platform that I have.
You were involved, weren't you, in the shoe and clothing drive for the hurricane victims?
Yes.
At least getting the word. How did was that an idea you came up with, or teammates or coaches or everybody together?
Coach Sanchez actually brought it up to me. Just talking about using this platform to try to give back. I'm from Atlanta, and I remember when Katrina hit, we have a lot of students or a lot of kids come to where I lived, and I just remember that, how tough that was. And obviously, it was a time where we were kind of at a standstill with the August 12th thing, so it was just a time to shine some positive light and try to get people to help each other out.
What do you see yourself doing once you stop playing basketball, whenever that may be?
I would love to go back and like do a nonprofit for black kids in the community that I live in, and just show them that sports are great. Like, you can use them as a tool, but there's so many other things you can do. There's art and a lot of things that aren't really presented, always presented to the black community. When you look on TV, you see like LeBron James or a rapper or something like that.
Yeah,
and just to show them that there's so many other ways that you can, you know, try to make it out of where you're from.
I mean, education's always been important to you and your family, hadn't it? I mean, that seems like that's been the case since day one.
My mama don't play that,
This basketball program has a definite culture. How do the veterans go about instilling those values in the newcomers, whether they're first years like Frankie and Marco or a transfer like Nigel Johnson? Do you articulate things, or do you just kind of lead by example?
I think we try to lead by example, and if something comes up, then we'll talk about it. But I learned from Malcolm and Anthony and those guys. I watched how they were. They never got in trouble, never heard anything bad about them. They were out here, you know, mm-hmm. being nice to people, taking the time out of their day to do different things just because they know that they have this platform. So I think that's where it starts. Hopefully you leave a good impression, and it carries on forever. It also has to do with the way that Coach Bennett recruits. I was just talking to Ronnie about that, about how much I appreciate how much he looks into character.
Yeah, he's selective on the front end, I think.
And it pays off so much.
Coach Bennett and his staff have built this program to the point where expectations are high every season. I know, official practice started last week. You're not very far into it, but you've been together with this group for a while. Do you have a read on this team yet, or do you need to play some games and see how guys do in that situation?
We're young. I understand that. I can accept that. But I just feel like we have the ability to be special. We don't have very much room for error. I also recognize that I'm very realistic in that. But the way that we share the ball, the way that we move the ball, I just feel like if we can, you know, lock into the defense, because I think that's where we left off last year. We missed a lot last year. That we can make some noise.
A lot of curiosity among fans about the two guys who redshirted last year, Jay Huff and DeAndre Hunter. Mm-hmm. I think fans have seen little flashes of them and like the scrimmage on videos from practice, but they haven't really seen them in a game. How much did the redshirt year benefit each of them, do you think?
I think it helps a lot. I think it allows you to gain some confidence. And, you know, they've had a year where they've sat back and watched and seen different things happen. And, you know, maybe those watching those experiences will allow them to be ready when their time comes.
This is your fourth year living with Jack Salt, is it not? What are you going to do next year when you graduate?
Hello, man. I don't know. I might have to come back one more year and just stay with Jack. They can pay my rent.
I was watching him in practice yesterday, and I think it's amazing how far he's come since his first summer in Charlottesville. I mean, I think it was probably fair to look at him then and say, like, this may work out or it may not. But, I mean, he still has two seasons left, and, I mean, he is becoming an impact player, it seems to me. What have you seen from him? I mean, he's not only your friend, he's your teammate, he's a fellow big.
He works so hard. If you go over to JPJ an hour before practice, you'll see him in there working his post moves, just out trying, shooting free throws for hours. And that's why he's paying off. I think a lot of what he does is confidence as well, just like everybody else. I love that dude, man. I really appreciate him.
Is he a full-fledged American now?
No way. If I said that, he'll be upset at me. No, he he's still very much.
Have you been to New Zealand, or would you like to go there and see him there one day?
I told him I'm going to come visit him after we graduate probably, but no, I've never been, but I'm definitely going to go visit him.
And you guys have a new roommate this year, right?
Nigel Johnson.
So how he's a graduate transfer. Seems to be getting better in practice, like almost daily. What do you think he will add to the team, and what's it been like? And I mean, is he a guy that you talk to about kind of what UVA basketball is about? Because he's been in two other college programs before this.
Right. The first thing that he said to me was that he wanted to go to the tournament. And from there, we talked about obviously what it takes. He said he's been one time, and I've been a couple of times and seen what it takes. But, I mean, I've seen Nigel pick up 94 feet in practice. He's so quick. He's so athletic that he can get to the paint and make things happen. So he has a lot of experience as well, and I'm looking forward to playing with him. He's a good guy. He's an unselfish guy, and he's easy to live with.
Good, just like Jack,
yeah,
right?
He's a clean dude.
All right, the season opener is not for a while, but the annual Pepsi Blue White Intersquad Scrimmage will be held on Sunday, October 22nd at JPJ, starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with Meet the Teams Day following that. We'll see you out there at that. Thank you again for your time.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
For details on the scrimmage and information on all our teams, check virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.